Last week we talked about how powerful prayer is, took a look at about six or eight prayers out of the Bible, and how much they changed the world to the point where you could almost talk about an altered reality because of the faithful way in which somebody presented a petition to God, and then it was answered. And this morning we're going to talk about a follow-up way to pray, and this one not how to pray for ourselves, but how to pray for a brother. Perhaps you want to pray for Scott and Jenny, for example, but you don't know what it is that they dearly want. Or you want to pray for TC and Angela, and you're not sure exactly what it is that's most important to them. How do you pray then? Psalm 20 is a way that addresses that. And because you remember, most of these psalms were set to music, remember that some of these were almost like national anthems. So let's read Psalm 20. It's 9 verses to start with, and then we'll draw out of it a few of the key ideas that come when we're talking about the exchange of information between a creator and his child. Psalm 20 in verse 1 reads this way. The Lord hear thee in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend thee. Send thee help from the sanctuary, and strengthen thee out of Zion. Remember all thy offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Grant you according to your own heart and fulfill all your counsel. Here's that point to where you say, whatever it might be that Harold and Sue want most dearly, dear God, please grant them that thing. Please add my prayers to theirs so that they might have that. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we'll set up our banners. The Lord fulfill all thy petitions. Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. They are brought down and fallen, but we are risen and stand upright. Save, Lord, let the king hear us when we call. As you go through those 150 psalms, which are prayers set to music, there are about a dozen or so themes, maybe a little more, maybe a little less, that we're supposed to get a hold of because they come up so often. And in Psalm 20, it's like that as well. And one of the things we're supposed to get a hold of is that there's a good way to live life and that there is a bad way to live life. And the very best way to live life, according to the Psalms, if you go through all of them, Psalm 100, Psalm 1 to 150, is that the great way to live life is to have access to God, to be accepted by God, and to have him hear our prayers. And the very worst thing that can happen to a psalmist, as you go from Psalm 1 through 150, is to have God hide his face from you, whether it be for sin, or whether it be for a period of trial, or whatever it might be, so that we don't have access to prayer. How would that be exactly? To be a police officer or a soldier or someone of this nature who has to go out and fight the battle and not have the gun and not have the badge. That's one of the recurring themes that comes through the Psalms, is that the ability to pray to God is one of the most important things. And so it starts off in Psalm 20. It says, the Lord hear you in the day of trouble, despite the fact that there are dangers here and there are threats here and there are fears here. Andy and Sarah's baby, thankfully, was born and is healthy and is doing well. It's a great thing. And no matter how good the medicine is, it's always quite the challenge and the trepidation to go through childbirth, isn't it? But now you can imagine 2,000 years ago, it was even a little different than it is nowadays, right? And Jewish women today think of Psalm 21st when they think of a psalm that has to do with childbirth. Matter of fact, how many verses does this psalm have? Has 9 verses, and they count that up as the 9 months of childbirth, and it has 70 letters in Hebrew, as a matter of fact, and they count those as the 70 cries of childbirth, whatever those 70 might be. But the point is, when you're facing a threatening situation, it's a lot more threatening in the little house in the prairie when there are no doctors nearby, no midwives nearby, that's a good time to be able to call on God in that situation, isn't it? As it was for Andy and Sarah. So, Lord, hear you in the day of trouble, whatever that kind of trouble was. When the communists took over China and ran Chiang Kai-shek out of there, there was a Mrs. Chiang Kai-shek, and they say that she was a charming lady, Mrs. Chiang Kai-shek as well. And there was an air raid. One of the American missionaries was there at the time. And the air raid comes over and starts bombing them, and she says, don't worry about it because the Lord has eyes. Does he? It says, and the Lord sees that our cause is just, and that it's not faith when things are easy. It only becomes faith when a thing is difficult. And that's part of what Psalm 20 is talking about. That's when we can show God some of this faith. So Psalm 20 in verse 1, you'll notice now verses 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6 are all parallels. They say similar things to us about prayer the second time around. You see the parallelism in verse 1. Lord, hear you in the day of trouble. The name of the God of Jacob defend you. When you pray to the God of Jacob, what is it that you're thinking of? When you think the God of Jacob is about to answer me, is there a connotation to that? The connotation is that God has answered your ancestors. He answered your dad, and he answered your grandma, and he answered your great-grandma, and he answered in the 1600s, and he answered in the 1300s, and he answered in the 1200s, and he answered in the 800s, and goes all the way back to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That's the idea here. I often think about being a 5-star general in America. You've got a list to follow, don't you? If you're trying to follow up on the generals that have come along in America behind you, you know, General Washington and General Pershing and General Marshall and General Patton and General Montgomery and General Eisenhower and everybody. And similar thing that you're talking about here when you're talking about Psalm 11 and the roll call of the faithful. The name of the God of Jacob defend you as he has defended so many others. Like Abel was faithful to God, and like Abraham when he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees, and Moses when he was called out of all the pleasures of Egypt. You and I have that same responsibility to serve God in our generation, to serve the God of Jacob, right? Would you read with me Psalm 91 here? We'll read a couple of verses. It says, he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. They will bear you in your hands, lest you dash your foot against a stone. you shall tread on the lion and the adder. The young lion and the dragon shall trample under feet. Because he has set his love on me, therefore I will deliver him. In other words, because the individual loves God, that person will cry when he needs help, and God will deliver the help. Psalm 91. I will set him on high because he's known my name. He will call on me and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life I will satisfy him, and I will show him my salvation. After George Washington won the Revolutionary War, the English attacked again about 30 years later, didn't they? Have you heard of the War of 1812? And they came into Baltimore Harbor and they started shelling the U.S. again. And they burned the White House. And they tore down a bunch of buildings in the area. And they had a bunch of warships too powerful for the U.S. And they started shelling Baltimore Harbor. But one of the interesting things is there was a young songwriter who was aboard one of the British ships at that time because he was negotiating the release of one of his brothers. And the songwriter's name was Francis Scott Key. Have you heard of that guy? And he's sitting on one of the English Baltimore ships watching the shelling occur all night. And it was so spectacular watching the Americans dig in that he wrote a song to it. Nobody had ever called the American flag the Star Spangled Banner before that particular song. And the fireworks were so overwhelming, you know, so irresistible looking, that when the sun finally came up, he said, oh, say, can you see that star-spangled banner still there? And became kind of an anthem, as Psalm 20 is an anthem. Anytime you and I have a loved one, such as a friend in this church, in danger, right? Might the Lord hear you when you call. Same kind of a thing. So God will defend. Psalm 20 in verse 2, send you help out of his sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. What kind of help do you need? First of all, when we get the word help, that's not the same thing as God, please take this problem away from me, is it? Is that the same thing to say, Lord, please send me my necessary help, and saying, God, please take this help away from me? Help was primarily a military term. Like maybe you're up here in a fortress like Helm's Deep or Theoden's Keep or something like that. And here come the thousands of beasties who are going to come, and they're going to take over your keep, and they're going to kill your women and kill your children. But there's help coming. And what is the help? helps a bunch of soldiers that arrive on the second day or the third day. Imagine us in a situation like this where we had to barricade the doors, and if we could hold out for 48 hours, then the help got here. If you didn't make it 48 hours, then they came here and they did what they wanted with the women and the children. That's the kind of help this is typically talking about. Send you help out of the sanctuary. What kind of help do you need? You know, you need a nest egg, or you need some money, or you need some health, or you need a cure, or you need some college, or you need a friend, or you need some comfort, or whatever it is. God knows what that comfort is, isn't it? Lord, send you this help out of Zion, whether it be the CPR or whether it be the whatever it be. Philippians chapter 4 in verse 13 says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And we said this parallelism now, send you help from where was it? Did you ever notice this in the Psalms? Something that we miss as Americans 2,000 years later. God sends you help from where? Well, see, we're still missing it. It's right on the screen. We still miss it. God sends us the help from where? From the sanctuary. Sends you help out of Zion. The modern equivalent of that would be where? From his church. Where he is, where the center of his spiritual nature is. If you're a semi-trucker and you were passing through and you needed some diesel fuel and you needed someplace to eat and you needed someplace to park your semi-trailer truck for $10, where would you go? There's a truck stop up the hill on 167, and I suppose that's where you'd go, right? If you wanted some help, where would you get it? You'd get it from Christ, and where is Christ? Christ is in the sound church of Jesus Christ, isn't he? That is where that help comes from, and you could find 50 different verses that talk about the same thing. Whether you talk about God strengthening us, not taking the problem away, but strengthening us. When Gideon took 300 and he had to go and take out the enemies of Israel, what did God give him? Israel had 10,000, and then he had 300, and God gave him one thing that won the day for him. Does everybody know what that one thing was? It was a military strategy. You know, put your lights behind some pots and then break the pots all of a sudden and then start killing one another, and you'll win the battle. Gave him a strategy. What is it that God will give you when you need it? Help is what we're after. Now, verse 3 is a really interesting one, too. It says, Here's a way that you and I tend not to think also, if we're not careful. There are grand themes in the Psalms that you and I got to get a hold of. Okay, so the Lord hear you in the day of trouble. Name of the God of Jacob defend you. When you're praying for a friend, you can always pray this for you. You don't even have to know what it is that they want. You don't even have to know what it is that they need. You can still pray this. Send you help from the sanctuary and strengthen you out of Zion. Might the Lord God remember all your offerings and accept your burnt sacrifice. Here's one that's kind of interesting. Do you remember one of the most blessed men in the Bible in terms of prayers answers was King Hezekiah? You remember right in a row he got two prayers answered. Do you remember what those two prayers were? The Assyrians had Jerusalem surrounded with 185,000 men, and it took the angel of the Lord to destroy those. And then very shortly after, what other prayer did Hezekiah get answered? He personally had a terminal disease, and God said, okay, we'll take away the terminal disease, and you'll have 15 more years. But it says in 2 Chronicles chapter 32, verse 25, do you remember what happened next in that story? How many remember what happened next? It says that Hezekiah rendered not back to God according to the benefit done him. Hezekiah didn't contribute after that. Hezekiah didn't give back to God a gift, a financial gift or anything else that the 2 Chronicles 32:25 says that was commensurate with the prayer God answered. That's not a criticism. That's not God being mean. It's just a simple description of what happened. Hezekiah grabbed with both hands the salvation of Jerusalem. And then Hezekiah grabbed with both hands the healing of his terminal disease. And then he failed to contribute. That's kind of sad, isn't it? When you think about that, whereas you go over to the New Testament, and here's Cornelius, and he runs into an angel, and he's all scared of the angel, and the angel tells him what? What did the angel say? He said, fear not, Cornelius. Your contributions and your alms and your givings are acceptable in the sight of God. And so you're going to be the first Gentile conversion, and it's going to happen in Acts chapter 10. So
Acts chapter 20, in verse 4, grant you according to your own heart and fulfill all your counsel. The counsel has to do with the life mission, and the heart, if you're praying for your friend, has to do with those things that would delight them. We've got a preacher trainee who doesn't know exactly what he's going to do with his training. He says, well, maybe God will want me to just help out a congregation with my speaking skills. Would that be okay? Sure. Or maybe God will present me with an opportunity and I'll move to Idaho or something. And that's what God will want me to do. And if God wants me to do that, that will be okay. Is that all right? His counsel is at God's discretion. Story goes about a man who was trying to get right with God. And he said, I really want to do whatever God wants. And he wrote down here, God, I will do this for you and that for you and the next for you. And he laid it down on the altar and he walked off. And he felt lousy about what he put on there. So he went back and he grabbed this little piece of paper and he got a different piece of paper and he wrote this on it and that on it and that on it and he put it down on the altar and he still didn't feel good about it. So then he took another piece of paper and he left it blank and he put it on the altar. Amen. That would be something cool to put on the altar for God, wouldn't it? That's what Roger and Teresa have put on there, as far as their training goes. That's kind of a neat example for us, isn't it? Whatever God decides is what will wind up happening. And a similar thing here. Grant, fulfill all your counsel, all your hearts, all your plans. Grant unto you according to your own heart. Take into account those things that you want as well. Psalm 20 and verse 5. We will rejoice in your salvation, and in the name of our God we will set up our banners. The Lord will fulfill all your petitions. There was a U.S. military officer one time who had a couple of guys do some heroic things in his battalion, and he wanted to give them their bonus because at the time the U.S. Army gave bonuses for heroic act, cash awards for doing things. I don't know if it does that anymore or not, if you can save 10 people and get a cash award or that happens. But U.S. Congress said, no, we don't pay those bonuses anymore. And so he said, well, if we're not going to pay bonuses, I'm going to pay them in some kind of currency. And so he tore off some purple clothing and he invented the Purple Heart. You know who that officer was? It was George Washington. He said, because if you can't pay him in money, you're going to pay him in currency. Even Weight Watchers understands. You know, that if you want to win and you want to win at something for a long time, is it important to celebrate victories? That's what Psalm 20 and verse 5 says. That when we ask God, and when he gives, and when we overcome through him, we're going to take a moment, we're going to set up a flag, and we're going to thank God for it. And is that going to make us stronger? Verse 6, now I know, and this is talking about messianic. Now I know the Lord saves his anointed, the Christ. He will hear him from his holy heaven with the saving strength of his right hand. Okay, so here the parallelism is less from here to the end of Psalm. Psalm 20 in verse 7 says, some trust in chariots and some in horses, but we will remember the name of the Lord our God. If you just had a bunch of men out on foot fighting in the forest, if you just took this half of the guys against those half of the guys and you had them out fighting to the death after this was over, that would be an exciting situation, wouldn't it? But supposing that this half over here had horses and chariots, those horses and chariots would be impressive, wouldn't they? And some trust in those horses and some trust in those chariots. And what do you trust in, brother? You trust in money? You trust in the very best oncologist in the region? You trust in a car that you have tuned up exactly right? There is nothing worth trusting in beyond the fact that the Lord will hear when we call him, is there? That's what Psalm 20 is talking about. Now, so you look at those people who did trust in the car and the money and the doctor and the 401k and the horses and the chariots. And you look at them now and where are they? Verse 8. They are brought down and fallen. But we are risen and we stand upright. And Here we are, aren't we? Aren't we all standing here upright? Save us, Lord. Let the king hear us when we call. So, an encouragement to us. How many times does God have to ask us, I will deliver you in the day of trouble, and you will call, and you will glorify me. This is one of the modes of communication between us and our Savior. Should there be anyone here this morning who wants to come forward, take advantage of the congregation for its prayers, please come forward as Don leads us in song number 197.